Thank you, Jesus, for truth, and truth sets us free. Lord, that's how we know it's truth, because truth sets us free. It never takes us into further bondage, but it sets us free. And thank you, Jesus, that you're always setting us free, you're always making all things new. And you're always, it's just a continual thing you do as our great high priest, as Lord, just continually setting us free from what we're already free from what we're already free. You're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition, are you? Anyway, Lord, just bless our time together. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I was just had this weird vision showering after I cleaned up all the water. I turned the water on and went out to get some stuff, and the shower head just fell off. You know, Scott was one of those that you can take off. You know, Scott fell off and squirted into the bathroom. The door was barely cracked and just soaked our bathroom floor. And I had a little heater thing in there that I keep, you know. It could have turned out bad, right? I could have been, had a little jolt, but the Lord saved me in that. So in the midst of all that, sometimes I'll just get a vision or something, and then he'll just kind of build upon that. And it was a very bizarre one, because I was seeing like a goat. And the goat was kind of cut in half, but yet still alive, you know. I thought, now that is really weird. But then I was just praying, talking to the Lord about it, and he just led me to some scripture. And, Leviticus 16, it's where Aaron was making atonement for the people. And they were to bring one, I think a bull and a ram and two male goats, you know. And he would take the blood of the bull, and he would, you know, put it on the altar, and then take some of the blood of the bull and one of the goats or whatever, and do that to the mercy seat. And then he would have to wash his whole body, take his clothes off, wash his clothes, you know, a sign of being cleansing. But this second goat, what they would do to that goat is he would lay hands on that, and the sins of the people would be laid upon this goat. It was called a scapegoat. That's where we get the word scapegoat from. And this goat would be sent out into the wilderness. There was a guy that would be holding the goat, I guess, by a rope. When Aaron would do the deal, the guy would let the goat go out into the wilderness, and then the guy would come, and he would strip down, wash his clothes, and have his body totally washed and totally cleansed, right? So he would put on that. very interesting story. I remember Betty Brennan telling us about that. In scripture, the name of that goat, or they would call that goat, Azazel. Y'all remember that? I'm sure y'all remember. If you knew Betty Brennan, her teachings about that, about a spirit that lived in the deserts of Jericho was Azazel. The name of that demonic thing. So this thing would go out with the sins of the people on it out into the wilderness. And then we see Jesus coming, right? And one of the first things he did was Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry, and the tempter came to him. So one of the names of the enemy as you, in Scripture is a few names, Beelzebub, one, the dragon of old, and he's called the tempter more than he's called anything else, you know, the devil, the tempter. The tempter came to him there. Luke's version is a bit better because it gives us a little more insight into this. Because as Jesus made atonement for the people, he also had to go out and deal with this goat in the wilderness too, right? And this says this. This is in Luke 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, this is like the first thing that Jesus did after he's baptized. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, right? For 40 days, he was being tempted the whole time. So it wasn't to the end of the 40 days, right? He had nothing to eat or drink. The end of the, when the 40 days was ending, is when the devil came to him and told him to turn the stone into the bread and, you know, to jump off, you know, the pinnacle and bow down and worship him and all this kind of stuff. But he had been doing battle for 40 days with the tempter, right? And it says when the verse 13, when the devil had finished every temptation, right, he was out. Bag empty. No more temptation than left. He left him until an opportune time, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I like how it says that Jesus went in there full of the Spirit, but he came out in the power of the Spirit. Because Jesus faced the devil in the power of the Spirit. As man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of God the Father, he faced every one of them. So as we jump over, and there's one in Thessalonians, you want to read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, where Paul says he was concerned about them unless the tempter came to them, you know, and tempted them. And when they find out, you know, when he sent the guy and find out that, okay, y'all are okay. But Hebrews gives us a little insight into this whole ordeal, which I love, which is so good. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself also took of the same. He became flesh and blood, as one of us, that through death he might render powerless him who had power over the death, that is the devil, that he might render powerless him who had the power, that is the devil, right? He only gives the power that we give him, right? Jesus had rendered him powerless. And might free those who through the fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. Isn't that true? Fear of death can keep people in slavery their whole lives, you know. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he does give help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like us in all things so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make this propitiation, completion for the sins of the people. For since he himself, Jesus himself, was tempted in which he suffered for sin, and he was also didn't just suffer for sin. We hear that all the time, that Jesus died for sin. He died as sin. You know, he died for us, as us. To it. And he also died to the power of it, to free you from the power of it, right? He just did the whole complete deal. For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he therefore now is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted by the tempter. Now this leads right into Hebrews 3 and 4 about entering into God's rest, right? And you can't enter into God's rest if you always have or you walk around with a sense of a sin consciousness. You can't rest. You can't enter into God's rest if you always, if there's a, something just nagging all the time with you, that you've done this or you hadn't done that, or you've blown it in this, or you've, you know very well, right? The tempter who accuses you before God night and day. So it's what he does. It's his job, right? And over in chapter 4, which talks about God's work was complete from the beginning, again, entering into his rest, how powerful his word is. And it says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast this, what we believe. See, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. We've heard that before, that God is not repulsed, but actually drawn to our weakness, right? Because in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. If we not have a priest who cannot sympathize with it, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet didn't give in. Therefore, because of this truth, let us draw near to him with confidence, with full assurance, to his throne of grace, that we may receive his mercy and find his grace to help in our time of need. And then what is our time of need here he's talking about? Is when we are being accused or condemned or reminded of our failures, of our weaknesses, of our sin, right? I remember when, like, when you have one of those aha moments where a light kind of comes on in your mind, like, you know? I remember as a younger Christian man just really having a real heart for the Lord and walking with him and just battling, you know, just life and frustrations or temptation or a thought would come. And I would say, oh, God, forgive me for having a thought, you know, or I'd have this, oh, God, forgive me for that, having this thought. God, forgive me for having that thought. And the Lord just kind of broke through all of that one day and said, hey, Craig, you don't need forgiveness. You already have that. You've been forgiven. You need help. I was like, okay. And then he showed me this picture in a vision of a boxing ring, right? And I was in there with the enemy. And he said, if he can entice you to get into this boxing ring, he will beat you every time because he'll wear you down. But if you let him, because I beat him every time, right? It's called in Scripture in Jeremiah, Jesus is called the dread champion, right? So that's a part of our daily lives. The enemy's there, the scapegoat, to remind us of our sin, right? Now, Jesus could have done all kinds of things. I think that is just so, God is just so cool in his wisdom, and that was just a real powerful thing for him to do. As he made atonement for everything, and they washed their clothes and cleansed, which all of that means just being clothed with Christ, being forgiven, right? And remember, we talk about that, because once a year they had to go up and get their sins. People had to get their sins forgiven, and once that was done, it would start piling back up on them again. It's like they have this huge rucksack and all of it's emptied, you know, pour it all out, all your sin. Boy, that sure feels good. Put the rucksack back on, and rocks were starting to be added to it again for a whole year, right? And y'all, we still kind of believe that as believers, as Christians, right? Because if you believe that way, then you still live under the law. If you believe they pile up on you. Jesus took them away forever, right? And I use that analogy or whatever, that when you were in the courtroom guilty and the judge passed the sentence, and then the guy stands up and says, "I'll take the sentence," you know, Jesus did that, and we used to use that in our evangelism things, and then, you know, and Jesus took it, and I was able to walk out of that courtroom and shut the door. I never have to go back into that courtroom again. Done deal. So living life is, walking life is that learning in my relationship of this merciful and faithful high priest who comes to me in my weakness and in my temptation, when I'm tempted to do, to get whatever. In all of our weakness, where does it get angry, frustrated, just the whole gamut of sin, right? He comes to my aid, right? And he faces that for me. And he reminds me that I'm forgiven. And even if it's kind of like an onslaught of the enemy, he's there to do battle on my behalf. And he wins every time. We just let him get in the boxing ring for you, right? It's where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. You know, Romans 5 is just full of that, you know? Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. And we're clothed with him. The whole thing that Aaron and those guys are doing is just a picture of us being clothed with Christ. That's the reason we can, with full assurance, in Hebrews 10, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, it's this new and living way which he did it, through the veil that is his flesh, and we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith, already having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and already having our bodies washed, is the way it reads, and already having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold this confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised this is faithful. Right? So it's hard to come to God in boldness, in faith, in full assurance if I carry around a sin consciousness, right? Within that chapter 10, it tells two things that God did for eternity. One, he's perfected you for all time, right? The Song of Solomon, you're altogether beautiful and there's no blemish within you. And he has sanctified you for all time, which means made you holy for all time in him. Well, what's the whole purpose of confession then? Well, the whole purpose of confession is nothing more than agreeing with the Lord and trading up. Agreeing with him that, hey, man, I've been struggling with this and really didn't have to. Because you're the victor. Lord, teach me. Teach me how to let you, teach me how to think with you. And then confession, like repentance, confession means just to agree with, to think with, to think with him, to walk in that kind of, man, walking in that stuff just brings such liberty, such confidence, such boldness, right? I know being in with the Lazarus Ministries all these years and hearing so many different people who were on the teams, you know, a lot of them getting taken out through the week. We're used to that. Crazy things happening to people, you know. But a lot of them getting there and wanting prayer right before they go in because they've had such a horrible week and they failed so miserably. Even that morning, you know, they may have gotten a fight with their mate. And I remember TC and I, that would be the time that we would get, that would be the biggest temptation to get into a fight would be that morning, you know. Just throwing us off track. Just trying to throw us off a track of something that, so we would not walk in there with confidence, we'd walk in there sheepishly. How many people I've prayed for and, hey, you're okay, you're fine, going in there. Well, I can't minister to them because I don't feel worthy. Well, it's not about you anyway. It's about Jesus who lives in you. And guess what? It's already a done deal. Don't listen to these lies. you're forgiven. Sometimes you just need, that's what confession is good, because you need something with flesh and blood on it sometimes to look at you and say, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You already did it. He went and he took care of the scapegoat for you. He went and defeated the enemy on his territory. He went in, as one said, to pick a fight, you know, and was tempted with every temptation known to man. I love using that scripture when people come to see me, because no matter what they've done, how horrible it is, how shameful it is, especially those, you know, things they've done that are just to bring great shame, not only to them, but to their families or communities or whatever. And to say to them, hey, you know what? Jesus is tempted with that same thing. And they'll be like, what? Are you serious? Jesus was tempted with, I'm just using this top of my head, Jesus was tempted with homosexuality. Yeah, he says it. He allowed himself to be tempted. Thoughts of murder, whatever, suicide, you name it. It was thrown his way. And for us, for me, and for your sake, he fought it. So now he could come live in me to continue to do the same, right? I remember God telling me one time, you know, he has a group, and it's good to have a group of people or accountability group, you know. He was with accountability group for some thing, and he said, you know, I won't give into this, maybe give into this type of sin or go to, you know, look at it on my computer or whatever, because I know I've got to go, you know, face these people and I have to confess this to them. And I thought, well, I mean, that's, accountability is good, but wouldn't you want to have the freedom when nobody's around to walk in that kind of freedom, when it's just you and Jesus, nobody else? It's just you alone, you're not alone. Wouldn't you rather walk in that kind of freedom? And they're like, yeah, I would. And I said, well, it's yours. You can do that. That's what he does, right? Now, that's good. Accountability is good. Don't get me wrong. It's good to have brothers, good people praying for you and all that stuff. But it's better to have a revelation of the great and merciful high priest, who was tempted in everything as we are, yet without sin, where we can come confidently to his throne of grace and mercy and receive from him in our time of need, when we're getting lambasted. Right? Amen? Amen. Alrighty.